It's a big world.
Oh, wow! It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk, reward, opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
Oh, I almost stepped on Mr. Announcer Guy. This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to the Big World of Small Business. We call Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Take down our number and join us. It's toll free, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership and being an independent worker. I don't think I've ever done that before, but our announcer voice, Rob Jorgensen, very talented entrepreneur that he is. I normally let him finish what he's saying before we jump in on the program. But welcome to it. Glad you're here. We are open for business, as I said. I have a question for you in this episode of our program, and it's simply this. How is your summer job or business going? Here we are, believe it or not, we're probably roughly midway through the summer of 2014. Students are many anyway are out of school. Some of them are out of classes altogether, completely. Families trying to squeeze in some vacation time to the extent that they have the time and they can afford it. And of course, church activities are such that got a lot of. I mean, churches go into overdrive over the summer months to meet the needs of children and teens and college students and such. College retreats, high school camps, those kinds of things. How is the summer job or summer business going? I'd like to hear from you on that. It's 877-933-2484. Coming up in just a few moments, I will get to some new statistics, some new data about the significance of summer jobs and summer businesses. Also, some big news about the global economy. And I know there's a lot of people, I'm sure, within the reach of my voice here on this program and on the affiliates of the Faith Radio Network, who care deeply and understandably so. We certainly should all care deeply about the proliferation of the gospel and foreign missions and missionary and ministerial work right here at home in the United States and in Canada and around North America. I mean, we want the gospel to reach all over the world. It behooves us all to pay attention to changes in the global economy. And I'll have some news from the country of India coming up a little bit later this hour. Some people look at the U.S. economy and they say, my goodness, what's gone wrong here? Jobs aren't coming back the way we wanted them to. It's not like 2004 or 2006 or the late 1990s or what have you. Job growth is not happening the way we'd like it to. There's a lot of systemic reasons for that. And I would maintain that that is happening in no small part because of some bad public policy here in our country. Not only that, however, we have a lot more global competition in the global economy. So I'll tell you about that coming up a little bit later this hour here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Now, that said, Kim, could we play the serious instrumental music just for a moment, please? We need the serious instrumental music just for fun. Every once in a while, I like to throw that in, and thank you very much for that, Kim. This is some interesting new data that got published earlier this week and this past week. And as if we needed more evidence of this, this time it comes to us from the country of Canada. And thanks to the Canucks, this comes out of the University of British Columbia, UBC, a beautiful campus, a great institution of higher learning, and they've conducted their own research and published it earlier this week. They report that while jobs at the local drive-through restaurant or at a car wash or what have you, the summer job, as it were, might not be particularly exciting or glamorous, they report that, guess what? When teenagers, and in some cases even preteens, when they actually work these very unglamorous and in many cases very difficult and just not pleasant at all jobs, when they do these jobs over the summer months and when they're not in school, here's the shock, they actually have better employment fortunes and higher salaries, and they are more productive and more functioning later in life in the marketplace. This is according to Dr. Mark David Seidel. He's co-author of the study at the University of British Columbia. He says, with summer in full swing and kids sitting on the couch, parents often are wondering where the kids go to occupy their time. Dr. Seidel suggests, and again, this is a researcher at the University of British Columbia, he's saying, you know, it's not just a matter of occupying your time. It's not just a matter of being busy. He's saying there's more to the summer months, or should be more to the summer months, than just being busy. And I know I'm the parent of a teenager. My wife and I are raising a teenage son. I appreciate the what goes on in churches with youth ministry outreach and such, and the emphasis on evangelization efforts over the summer months. And you know, thank the Lord for our youth pastors and all the volunteers and the staff that are heading up these summer camps and trying to create a productive and meaningful evangelistic experience for our young people. I also, and I've said this many times, I've been saying this for several years now here on this program, Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, and I want to say it again, let's think in terms of getting kids into the marketplace, maybe some sort of internship. And by the way, if you're a business owner, I mean, if you own some sort of uptown storefront kind of business, if you live in a rural area and you own and operate a farm, invite the youth pastor to get kids to come out and at least tour the place and see what it looks like. How cool of a field trip sort of experience might that make? And I think that business owners can work in conjunction with local ministers, local pastors, local clergy, and church volunteers to get kids, just get them acquainted with the operation of the business. Allow them to serve as an intern, however formal or informal that arrangement might look like. And by the way, there may be, depending on where you live, depending on what region of the country you're in, there may be some legal issues entailed in that, and so you want to check with local authorities and even get legal counsel on that to make sure you're not violating any child labor laws, having young adults, underage minors, volunteering their time in a commercial business. But I'm telling you, we've got to get kids acquainted with business. And we've got great business owners around this country. The vast majority of enterprise, for-profit enterprise that occurs in this country happens in the context of privately owned small businesses. It's not the big, large corporations. It's privately owned small businesses, the mom-and-pop shops, if you will. And this is a real opportunity, especially during the summer months, to get kids acquainted with how business operates, how products and services are created, how they are delivered, how to treat customers, and the like. Now, I want to play a couple of sound bites. And, Kim, if we could have the montage of student audio. This was comes from a video of student shot on camera at both a community college in the state of Virginia and then a state university in Louisiana. It's from a community college of Virginia and University of New Orleans, kind of a montage. The video switches off between students in Virginia and Louisiana. Here's what they were saying last fall. This was, I think, September of 2013. Here's what they were saying about the job market and their place in it. Listen to this.
It's really hard to find jobs, and you apply so many different places, and either you just don't fit what they want, or they just don't even call you back. And even when you do get a job, they normally don't pay that much.
I was trying to find a summer job, but I wasn't able to, probably because I didn't have the right connections, or somebody else just beat me to the point.
I think I spent probably close to like 9 months looking for a job, and nothing at all.
I've been trying to find a job since July, end of June, beginning of July, and now it's September.
Okay. Now, that just sounds like a constant stream of hopelessness and helplessness, doesn't it? It does not have to be that way. Get kids involved in the marketplace, in the workplace. Get them observing. Make it a fun thing. Make it an exciting thing. And consider the theological and the spiritual implications of work. Labor is, at the end of the day, as we learn from the scriptures, as we can glean from the scriptures, labor is the outworking, in many ways, of God's spirit within us. I mean, we are created in the image and likeness of our God. Human beings are capable of creativity like no other member of the created order. I remember many, it was probably a couple of years ago now, I was at a debate on a college campus. It was actually a community college campus. And we were talking about the uniqueness of human beings versus animals. And somebody pointed out to me, said, well, you know, animals are some of the most creative creatures in the world. They, you know, they create, beavers create dams and bird creates nests and they don't have to get educated and they do all these things. And I pointed out that animals, other creatures from the created order, they've been building the same kinds of dams and birds' nests and beehives and so forth. They've been doing this since the dawning of time. It is only human beings that can create new sorts of structures and find better, newer ways of doing things. That's because we are created in the image and likeness of our God. We are unique among the created order. Get kids involved in the created process. Now, when we come back, I will get to some of your calls. Our number is 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I had a very interesting conversation earlier this week. A gentleman who's been on this program before, but he is the former president of Chick-fil-A Restaurants. He's got this very interesting book out, and it has a whole lot to say to young adults, preteens, teenagers, and their parents. And it has everything to do with getting them involved in work and in business so we can create a brighter future for them and help them create a brighter future for themselves. I'll let you hear a little bit of that conversation. When we come back, your call's on the way. Also, it's 877-933-2484. Good to have you with us. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Our program continues in moments.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
And I'm glad you are. Thank you for being here. I am here every weekend at this same time on this great radio station that you're listening to, the affiliates of the Faith Radio Network. By the way, you can always find our archive program audio at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. We like to say it's our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. It just configures perfectly on the screen on an Android or an iPhone or what have you. Don't need no app. Just works perfectly. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Our program website, by the way, lots of tools and resources for those interested in starting a business, perhaps, or growing a business. It's austinsbigworld.com, spelled just like it sounds, austinsbigworld.com. 877-933-2484 is our toll-free number, 877-933-2484. In just a moment, I'll let you hear part of my conversation with this gentleman who's knows a thing or two about growing a business. He's former president of Chick-fil-A Restaurants. Started as a youngster and worked his way up in the company. Now he's got this book that he's trying to use to teach some things about job growth and successful business practices to America's youth. And by the way, he believes that churches are a great place to be doing these things. But my question for you in this episode of our program, tell me about your summer job or summer business venture. How's that going? 877-933-2484 to the phones. Dave is up next. Dave, welcome to it. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hello, sir.
Hi, Austin. Thanks so much for taking my call. Glad to get to talk to you. And if it's okay, I'd rather talk about my kids and one in particular and her summer job because I'm much more proud of her, and it's much easier to talk about someone else than about myself. So
I was
going to
say,
okay.
this sounds like a proud dad moment. Is that where we're going here? That's perfectly okay, by the way. Good for you.
Well, I greatly appreciate that. No, I'm just so proud of her. She's working during the summertime as a nanny. Over the last couple of months, she's been on the internet looking at job sites. She's been talking to people. And the nanny opportunity came about because she's a squared away young lady and because she has friends in different circles who knew each other. And because of this networking, she was recommended to this young family. And they interviewed her. She stepped right up. She did a trial run with the kids, and they hired her. They've got a contract. She gets a paycheck every month from this private family. And I'm just so proud of her for having the initiative to stay in touch with people. You know, Facebook and all the others are great tools, but nothing beats, in my opinion, that face-to-face networking and communication and time spent with friends.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's what really did it for her. There was a young couple that said, oh, we would recommend this young lady, and we spend time with her, you know, regularly, and it was that face-to-face contact, interpersonal relations that really got her in a position to where she was able to take advantage of this opportunity.
Dave, that's a great story. I'm just curious, did the church or a church community play any part in that networking process?
Absolutely. A huge part, as a matter of fact. The couple that hired her is a young couple who my wife and I had in our Sunday school class that we taught for young marrieds. So when this couple was a newlywed couple, we got to know them, they got to know us, and they remember our daughters as young girls. And now they're in a position with young children. Our daughters are grown up and in a great position to be the nanny for their young kids. And the family that recommended my daughter, one of a couple actually, were also friends at church with the mom or the wife. Would spend time with my daughter and build into her, and they had, you know, the ladies' version of iron sharpening iron, if you will.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And they would do that and got to know just the quality of character and the kind of person my daughter is. So, yes, it was these relationships that we had with people at the church who it really made a difference in her getting this position and taking advantage of it. Absolutely.
That's a great story. About how old is your daughter, if I may ask?
She is about 19.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's a great story, and it sounds like a lot of this networking and building relationships. If she's only 19, she's a very young woman, and it sounds like this building of relationships probably started many years ago before she was an adult.
It did, and one of the things that's kind of funny about it is that, you know, I'm one of those people in our local community. I can't go anywhere without seeing somebody I know or who knows me. And for the longest time, it would just annoy my family, especially my girls, to no end. And now it's funny, it's fun to see it happening with them. And it's not like she's trying to network. She doesn't even call it that. It's just relationship building.
Yep.
And it's great to see her pouring into other young girls and also her peers, and then being poured into and getting mentored by ladies that are a little older than she is. But it's just a wonderful cycle type of thing going on.
That's
great.
That is great. Dave, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for listening to us here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. What a great story, and that's just fascinating and terrific to me that that all kind of connects to the church. By the way, a few points, some wisdom to glean from what that gentleman is describing there. For one thing, and this is, I try to keep up on the latest research on these kinds of things, like how exactly do new hires come about? And most of us agree that there's not enough new jobs or employment positions being created in the economy right now. That's been showing that those numbers have seen an uptick in the last two or three months or so, and that's good. But it's still, job creation is not happening nearly at a sufficiently rapid pace to get back to work and to employ the millions of people across the United States of America who need to be working and should be working. That whole should be working thing, that's another can of worms that we've addressed before, and we'll get to it another time. But I do keep, I think, pretty current on the trends as far as exactly how new employment opportunities come about and how people get chosen to be hired, get offered a job in the first place. And you know what? You know what the number one reason, the number one way by which people find out about a job and actually go through the application process? It's networking. It's face-to-face contact. That is not to discourage anybody. Please hear me correctly on this. I'm not discouraging anybody from going to an employment agency, talking to a headhunter, if you will. I'm not discouraging anybody from applying for positions online. Companies collect resumes, many of them on an ongoing 24/7 basis. Upload your stuff, send the email, keep in touch, work all those processes. Those are very legitimate, and they're there for a purpose. But the best way that somebody finds out, the most common way somebody finds out about a genuine job opportunity, an employment position, is I knew somebody. Face-to-face contact, one-on-one interaction, the relationship-building component of that, you cannot overemphasize how important that is. And notice what the gentleman was describing there about his daughter. This is this opportunity that apparently his daughter's working at right now was brought to bear by, a women's fellowship in the church with mom and with other young ladies and whatnot, if I was understanding that correctly. Listen, most churches that I've been in over the course of my lifetime It's pretty common stuff. You walk into the front door of the narthex or the worship center or the lobby or whatever you want to call it, and you don't have to stand around and be there very long before you see something on the wall or you get handed something in a bulletin or whatever, and you find out that maybe once a month there's kind of a, you know, a business person's breakfast, or there's a job network posting board in the back room, or you can go to the church website and find out about job openings and such. But most of that is geared towards older adults, I would say probably 35, 40 plus. Why don't we take that same sort of approach with job opportunities and with engaging a discussion about business startups with teenagers, pre-teenagers, college students? We can expand on that. I'm saying what I'm getting at here is that the infrastructure, the foundations of these kinds of things in many churches around the country, they're already in place. Let's build on them. Let's talk some more when we come back. How's that? It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Our program continues in moments.
You want to talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Great to have you with us on this, our live real-time episode. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. There are lots of reasons, a very complex issue, why it is that job creation and economic growth is not happening the way we perhaps were accustomed to in previous years, the way we'd like it to happen right now. And there's a lot of problems right here at home, but it's also becoming a much more competitive, globally competitive economy. And I know the issue of globalization of the economy is something that a lot of churches and a lot of people in churches, a lot of Christians care deeply about. Globalization, in many ways, is kind of a dirty word. But I'll speak to that and address that coming up here in just a few moments. Our number, 877-933-2484. We're open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, being an independent worker, finding work even if you can't find a job. And my question for you in this episode, how is your summer job or summer business going? To the phones, it's Ann in southern Wisconsin. Ann, welcome to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Glad you're with us.
Well, thank you for taking my call. We are having a great summer in business, but it wasn't always that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we are a perfect case of where Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but he who gathers little by little will increase. It has been little by little. And after about 16 years owning our own business, we're doing relatively well this summer. But I have to qualify that.
Yes.
I see up in your area up there in Minneapolis, you're going to have higher temperatures than we are. In the southern Wisconsin area, it is a cool summer. And what that means for us is fewer air conditioning expenses. It means that people are in a better mood. They are more willing to part with the available funds, whereas it was a very cruel winter.
Mm-hmm.
People did not get out. They were in a bad mood. They didn't want to spend money. It took a lot of money to keep the house warm and everything. I just noticed that it's been a whole different ballgame this summer. And I can honestly say that in the southern Wisconsin area, the water sports may be taking a bit of a hit, as it's only about 75 today. But with the ideal human temperature being 72, people are out. They're very willing, and that has certainly transferred into our business as well.
Well, that's cool. Now, is this sounds like some sort of family-run business? You keep referring to the plural, we are running a business. Is that, well, who is running the business, actually? Who's working with you?
My husband is actually running the business.
Okay.
I did work for him.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer work for him. I'm definitely supported here at home. And we have one employee, and that particular employee is just considered sort of like part of the family. When we need air conditioning, so does she.
Yeah.
When we need a paycheck, so does she. And so it's just us just running the business.
That's cool. That's cool. Now, what advice would you give to those listening to us or maybe thinking about starting a business within the family or maybe an individual seeking to do that? It sounds like this has been a long, hard slog, so to speak, to get your business, you and your husband, to where it's producing comfortably for you. What advice, based on your experience, would you offer, Anne?
I would say that you trust God and keep going. If you look at all the, if you look too far out in the future, you will become discouraged very easily. It's a day by day thing. You trust God day by day for your daily bread, just like He tells you to. But the second thing I would say is not only should you have stick-to-itiveness, but things, look for what the positives are. If this summer it's excellent weather, get out there. Capitalize on that. People are in a good mood. Don't delay your dream. Get busy and work on it. This is a great time to do that.
Yeah, good for you. And thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. And great to have you listening here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Such optimism and I would say such productivity that she's describing. That's great. And by the way, if it's cooling there in southern Wisconsin where she's at, well, so be it. We can't predict the weather. And quite frankly, I know this is counter to a lot of conventional thinking these days. I don't think we dictate the weather either, believe it or not. I know there's a shock. But anyway, we can't control the weather. And look, we had a lot of people say, well, the first quarter of 2014 across the country economically was so negative and so devastating because of the very harsh winter in so many regions of the country. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, it's difficult for me to think that the freezing temperatures and the frozen tundra that surrounded so much of the country did not impact the economy in some pretty substantial ways. Whether that was to blame for all of the shrinkage in the economy from Q1, I'm not so sure. But whatever the temperature is, whatever the comfort level out of doors things might be in your region of the country, we all have economic needs. We all have material needs. And we are compelled by the scriptures, quite frankly, to engage our God-given talents and our capacities and our abilities and find our way in the marketplace. What better way to actually do that than to get young people and even older adults involved in businesses, even if you're not looking for cash immediately? Wouldn't you think of it this way? Wouldn't you benefit from understanding what the local small business owner struggles with on a day-to-day basis? Wouldn't you understand better how to actually fortify and support them? We are in desperate need of business education and a better understanding, I believe, in our country and our culture of how wealth is created, how goods and services are produced and distributed among people. A great way to start is to get young people involved in the process. I want to, again, Kim, if we could have that montage of the college students, we could play this. I played this soundbite a little bit earlier this hour here on the program, but it bears repeating. This is a montage of students from the state of Virginia. It kind of alternates college students from Virginia and college students from Louisiana. I'm not sure why those two states got picked out for this this video project, but here they are. This was from last fall of 2013, talking about the job market and their non-existent place in that market. Listen to this.
It's really hard to find jobs, and you apply so many different places, and either you just don't fit what they want, or they just don't even call you back. And even when you do get a job, they normally don't pay that much.
I was trying to find a summer job. I wasn't able to, probably because I didn't have the right connections, or somebody else just beat me to the point.
I think I spent probably close to like 9 months looking for a job, and nothing at all.
I've been trying to find a job since July, end of June, beginning of July, and now it's September.
Okay. Well, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 or 5 months or a year or what have you. I appreciated the call a few moments ago, the Ann from the state of Wisconsin, saying you hang on to that stick-to-itiveness and you trust God in the process. But given that despair, given that seemingly hopeless sort of outlook among these college students, I want you to listen to this. I had this conversation earlier in the week with a gentleman named Jimmy Collins. This is a southern gentleman, if there ever was one. I believe he's from the state of North Carolina, but he was a young man, very young man, when he actually went to work for the Chick-fil-A restaurant company, back in that company's infancy, quite frankly. And he worked his way up in the company, and eventually, I think he retired as the company's president. And he has this book out. He's a retired gentleman. He now travels around the country and around the world, talking especially to youth, but even to baby boomers, middle-aged adults, about finding their place in the marketplace. He's got this very interesting book, and I intend to get him booked here on Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business and talk to us a little more extensively about the book specifically. It's a book called Creative Followership. Followership. And in a country and a culture where we are just kind of always inundated with all kinds of books and seminars and discussions about leadership, in comes this guy from a very successful career track. He says, well, let's talk about followership. He surmises that one of the problems with college students and even recent college graduates is that they have not been made to follow anybody or anything, at least not in a vocational sort of way. This is Jimmy Collins. I started off discussing with him the plight of young adult college students and recent college graduates in the job market. Here's just an excerpt of our conversation.
Well, when you think about it, if you have one leader, you got to have at least one follower, or he's not a leader. The young people in particular, I am concerned about the young people and how they enter into the workplace and how they get ahead. And there's not enough of us concerned about what's going on with our young people today.
Boy, I'm with you on that, Jimmy Collins. I get very frustrated, and you and I have talked a little bit about this before, but I get very frustrated with oftentimes the news headlines that say, well, there were X number of jobs created last month, and the unemployment rate dipped a tenth of a percentage point. Happy days are here again. That settles it. Everything's moving in the right direction. I get frustrated because that completely overlooks what's going on with those young adult demographics, and I think that's something you're watching very, very carefully.
Yes. Well, think about this. Young people are graduating from school. They have a beautiful diploma on the bedroom wall. They show up for the workplace and don't know what to do.
Right.
They don't know how to satisfy a customer. They don't know how to please a boss. They don't even know how to get along with their fellow workers because they have no practical application experience or education.
Some interesting observations by one Jimmy Collins. Now, by the way, if you get over to our program website, austinsbigworld.com, in the bookstore section, the resource section, you'll find that book, Creative Followership. But how did we get here? And by the way, so much of the discussion in our country, when it comes to this topic, so much of the discussion focuses on, gosh, is a college degree really worth it? Whatever it is it really worth it to go to the trouble and the expense and the debt to get a college degree? I don't think we need to call into question the value of a college degree. Certainly some college degrees lead to more robust employment and business opportunities than other kinds of college degrees. But I'm a guy that comes from the world of humanities, the liberal arts, humanities section of the college and university environments, an undergraduate degree in English. And I studied philosophy as a graduate student. Didn't go to monster.com and find a whole bunch of jobs listed for philosophers. They weren't there 20 years ago, and they're not there now. It really is about you and what you do with your God-given talents and capacities and the skills and the experience that you acquire over time. This seemingly was, I think, kind of intuitive for many people in my early Gen X generation. But it seems like we've missed imparting some of this practical wisdom here to our kids and grandkids and such. Let's not focus on the alleged failures of colleges and universities. Let's talk about getting kids into the marketplace, getting young people engaged in business. How's your summer job or your summer business going? I want to hear from you. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Back in moments, you're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Don't go away.
Hey, don't mind us. We're just talking about the most important part of the American economy. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. The economy is terrible and there's no work available? Well, apparently we didn't get the memo.
You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
And I'm glad you are. Thank you for being here. It happens every weekend at this same time on this great radio station that you're listening to. You can always listen back to our digital audio, downloadable or click to listen podcast. If you want to use that term, you can find that at myfaithradio.com. And, of course, our program website, it's austinsbigworld.com. The program is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, where we try to understand these very complex issues of the economy and job creation and making a living and actually having a livelihood, even if you don't have a job. That can happen, believe it or not. We try to understand these issues through the lenses of our faith. Let's just talk for a moment here about a subject that's kind of taboo in the minds of some, and it's globalization. Globalization. Now, a sort of a textbook. I'm getting to something very important in the economy and something that connects directly to job creation through the subject here of globalization. So work with me on this one for a moment. Globalization, textbook encyclopedic reference to it, might describe globalization as the process of international integration arising from the interchange of worldviews, products, services, ideas, and other components of culture. Now, that's kind of a lofty sort of eyebrows raised, maybe even nose in the air sort of definition. But globalization, in a more practical sort of way, really has to do with transnational enterprise. Businesses selling their products and services to people in other parts of the world, and people in other parts of the world buying products and services from companies outside of their own region. Globalization has been on a pretty steady march forward for the bigger part of half a century, certainly over the last 30 years anyway, and the United States is engaged in a whole lot of it. And I'm here to tell you that I don't think there's any closing that off. It is common thought in the United States of America, and if you are with us in Canada, in one of the Canadian provinces listening to us, perhaps you can relate to this. I think you can. I've spent considerable time traveling in two or three of the different provinces of Canada, both in the west and in the eastern region of the country. And I think the mindset about globalization in many cases is very similar in Canada than it is here in the United States. There is this mindset, however, in many regions of the United States of America that says, let's stop this. We're not going to try to sell stuff, not going to try to export stuff. Let's just, we're certainly not going to buy things overseas anymore. By golly, let's just make our own things and buy American and do all the business here in the United States of America. Keep all our money here in the United States. Now, just a little footnote, if you find yourself in that category, this may be true for you, maybe it's not. But a lot of the people in the U.S. who oppose globalization also oppose developing natural resources here in the United States, like the natural resource of oil. People who oppose globalization oftentimes are first in line to get upset and to bash on so-called big oil. We don't want to drill in the soil of the United States of America. That's environmentally hazardous. This is terrible. And as a result of governmental policies and people, many of whom are Christians, quite frankly, saying, well, this is just terrible. It disrupts the earth if we use our own natural resources and drill for oil. Many of the people who say that as a result of the government policies that they support, that say we're not going to use our own energy resources here in the United States. As a result of that, we send untold billions of dollars every year out of the United States of America into other regions of the world, many of which are very hostile countries, because we need their energy. So this whole issue of globalization is kind of a complex issue. And I know sometimes you'll see people approach the globalization issue with a very similar view that they have towards global evangelistic efforts. Okay, and sometimes that approach works, sometimes it does not. I would suggest, and this is kind of controversial in the minds of some, I would suggest that oftentimes business relationships from the United States extending into other parts of the world, oftentimes business relationships, free trade, if you will, precedes church outreach, ministerial outreach, and evangelistic efforts. And so I generally come down on the side. Every situation is unique, but I generally come down on the side of being supportive of global trade. In any event, I don't think we can stop globalization. The world is getting smaller in no small part because of technology. I want you to listen to this soundbite, though. This is a gentleman named Nilesh Shah. He is the CEO of a company called Infosys. Infosys. Now, if that name, Nilesh Shah, sounds kind of maybe a little foreign to you, good reason. He's from Bombay, India. This is an Indian-based company. They are traded on several stock markets around the world, including the New York Stock Exchange. And guess what? They've had some really robust, financially rewarding times. Listen to Nilesh Shah describe his company's success.
Infosys has just completed a good quarter, and they have basically, the revenues have grown at about close to 2% sequentially for the quarter. The full year guidance is to grow at 7 to 9% in dollar terms, which implies roughly about a 2.5% revenue growth quarter on quarter.
Okay, so things have gone well over the last quarter. Things look bright for the future of that company. I would suggest to you that we should celebrate this. Business, and there are American companies who say, oh my goodness, this company, they're selling software and they're doing business consulting. Hey, we're Americans. We're supposed to do this. You know what? The country of India has been transformed in no small part because they've been adopting a lot of American-styled economic policies. And this is a good thing. And this creates a greater sense of competition for businesses here in the United States. And it's successes like Infosys in the country of India, successes like this in other parts of the world, thinking of Hong Kong, for example, Singapore, Japan to some degree as well. It's American-style business enterprise success in other parts of the world that inevitably creates more competition for the United States of America. And if we really do care about the global reach of the gospel, it seems to me that here in the Western world, in the United States of America, we want to pay attention to economic trade, free trade among the nations. Because as I said earlier, free trade oftentimes precipitates, comes before free communication of the Christian gospel. Just think about that, and all the more reason why we need to get our young adults and teenagers and pre-teenagers equipped and ready to compete, not just here in the United States, not just in our hometown, but really in a globalized economy, because we are on a very, very rapid trajectory towards more globalization. I don't think you can stop it. I don't even know that we necessarily would want to, but we need to be prepared for it. Thank you for listening. I am Austin Hill. The program is called Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here every weekend at this same time, find me at austinsbigworld.com. We've got tips on starting a business, growing a business, teaching people about business. It's all right there at austinsbigworld.com. And find our program audio at myfaithradio.com. Have a great business week ahead. We'll see you next weekend.